Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled, drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement, and this is episode 101. Amateur victims will hate this episode. Now, before we get to it, please subscribe to my YouTube page, check out podcast previews in case you want to cherry pick and get caught up and get a sneak peek for future episodes. Download my book from Amazon. It's called Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills for just $4.99 instead of $8.99. And you can email me, lou@lousantini.com. Let's get to it. Here's what's happening in Amateur Nation. Topic number one. You know, one of the things I mentioned in the intro of this and every show is the victim types. Pros can't stand victim types, or victim culture for that matter, which, let's face it, it was bad for the last 10 to 15 years, let alone before mid-March when the pandemic started. Thanks to social media, victim types have been running rampant between the people who want to ban clapping all the way up to people who are afraid of Aunt Jemima's face on their syrup or pancake batter. Plus, don't forget the amateurs who all but accuse you of genocide if you go to check your mail without wearing a mask. We all can be fragile at times, especially now since we're off work, we're secluded, our schedules aren't the same, maybe you're sick of your significant other, maybe you're lonely and isolated, you're making less money. And let's not forget the constant reminders by the nameless, faceless, biased, censoring media that you're a gross phlegm factory who's not essential and a racist. I understand that, okay? But the victim mentality I'm talking about that pros can't stand is the amateur need to broadcast it. Nothing brings home amateur proof like a real encounter that happened to me that I can share with you. So here it is. Went grocery shopping last week, and throughout my entire journey in the store, I had to listen to the same woman talk on her cell phone, speakerphone on, with her mask on. Yeah, right? Strike one, talking on your cell too loudly in public. You're not sequestering yourself. Strike two, doing it on speakerphone. Strike three, wearing a mask. And by the way, strike four, if there is such a thing, holding it like a pizza in your hand. She had all those. And she and I entered the grocery store just about the same time. She had probably been there a minute or two before me. So of course, because she's wearing a mask and she needs attention desperately, she's yelling louder than usual. So everyone goes, yes, I was telling this guy, and of course, every 2 seconds, the person on the other end, what? I can't understand you. You think she would have said, let me call you back when I get home. I could take my mask off and hold the phone like a pro, but I need attention. So she's stuck with that. She's yelling louder and louder, and she's not even in my aisle, right? She's a few aisles over, and I can still hear her. So I, of course, am just yelling like, get off speakerphone. She doesn't, because she needs attention. I watched her, I'm not making this up, position herself at the perfect location. Where's that? Right where everyone kind of lines up for the 12, 13 grocery store aisles, the cashiers, right? To where people actually get food. So you got, you know, a few dozen people in line for the cashier 6 feet apart, so they're spread out even more. And then, of course, the area where the food begins. You got the florist, you know, the lawn chairs, everything but fucking food, but I get it. So she makes sure she's in front of everybody, and a switch turns on, and I'm not making this up, right? And I made a note of what she said. I typed it down on my phone right away afterwards, and I'm going to read to you what she said. But picture this hysterical woman screaming and crying in the middle of the grocery store on speaker, mask on. She says, then I just told her that her hair looked nice, and then I surprised myself and told her that she looked beautiful and that she is beautiful, and I was just so proud of myself that I was able to lift the spirits of another human being because I'm just so broken and dead inside right now. And, of course, the alligator tears poured forth. Got to keep in mind, up to this point, I had heard her talking about stuff that easily could have waited. The really perfect weather we're having for August, it's not in the hundreds, it's more like in the mid-70s and mid-80s. She's talking about chores she has to get done, errands, movies in general, stuff that could have waited. On speakerphone, like a pizza, mask on, throughout the store. I had already shopped for easily 20 minutes, and by the time she started crying, she literally had nothing in her grocery cart. Just walking up and down the aisles, getting attention, making a scene. So I've told a few people this story in person, and they all ask, well, why didn't you get it on video? One, because unless someone is actually doing something to me, attacking me or confronting me, or committing a crime, for example, I don't invade people's privacy in that way, to that extreme. And two, that would just be giving her more attention, feeding the beast in her hopes that I would post it. And, I'm not doing that. And plus, the viewers would have seen that video out of context. Okay, it would have made her look like the victim that she wanted to be because woman crying in the middle of a store and this guy's filming it. He's a dick. I did, however, walk right up to her and say, you're a fucking joke. And you know what? Tears were gone. It was amazing. Dead silence from the person on the other end of her speakerphone because he or she, whoever's on that phone, knows I was right. And by the way, again, no groceries in her cart. Just walking around the store, crying, screaming, getting attention. Let's not forget the virtue signaling, okay? She announced to the person on the other end of the phone and the store that she was proud of herself, that she could lift the spirits of another human being despite being broken and dead inside. Someone get Mother Teresa on the phone. What a triumph of the human spirit! She felt lousy, but yet summoned up the strength to compliment a stranger. I and fellow pros have no patience for that. Yes, I have felt vulnerable in public. I'm not without feeling. Yes, I might have broken down in public once or twice in my life, at which point I would sneak off to a corner or in my car or a quiet part of wherever I was to excuse myself, the restroom, to deal with my emotions in private. And that's usually because I just received some horrific news, a death in the family, something like that. But I sure as hell don't talk with my mask on speaker, screaming into my phone in public, holding it like a pizza in the middle of a store. I don't think any self-respecting pro would do that. To sum up, all of this political and social unrest is because amateurs are weak and have become weakened over the last decade or more. Of course you feel dead inside, amateurs. You have been nonstop told that you're racist, you're non-essential, you're a germ factory, wear a mask, stand 6 feet apart. And prior to that, you have been living your life on social media and measuring yourself against others and their filtered, phony, out-of-context posts and lives. Topic number two. The governor of Michigan. Michigan's motto, come for the water, stay for the poor leadership. Gretchen Whitmer, has declared racism a public health crisis. Letting that sink in for a second. However, racism only affects those who have pre-existing conditions of stupidity, amateur behavior, and bad parents. It does not affect those who are pros. Look, I don't know how anyone could even be racist anymore, considering we're all wearing masks and got to stand 6 feet apart. How's anyone get a chance to even be racist? We're not allowed to go anywhere. When's this happening? So, with racism being a public health crisis, according to Governor Nitwit in Michigan, I guess that means that she herself is a racist, right? If it's a public health crisis, she's in the public, and she should probably step down as governor since she's infected with racism, right? She should own her white privilege and turn over that governorship to a more deserving minority, right? I didn't know a state of mind could be a public health crisis. Aren't even the dumbest amateurs waking up to this kind of ridiculous nonsense? Why isn't anger a public health crisis? Lack of motivation, texting and driving. You know what really is a health crisis now, since March? Depression, anxiety, suicide, loneliness, alcoholism, drug abuse. Of course, this is the same amateur who, at the beginning of the pandemic, wanted to ban the sale, no, did ban the sale of carpet and paint. I can't believe some of the things I have to repeat sometimes. I make sure I'm like, I'm reading this right? Okay. Wanted to ban carpet. I remember seeing all that footage of carpet and paint factory workers coughing directly onto the carpet and the paint and then sealing the lid and the packages. I will say this, as dumb as Governor Whitmer is, she must be incredible in bed. Okay, in fairness, here is the actual quote from the Ionia Sentinel Standard, all right? I'm going to quote here. She said, black residents in Michigan are four times more likely to die from COVID than white residents are due to unequal economic and healthcare treatment, hyphen, and racism. You almost had me buying it. Let's be clear, okay? Number one, between the horrible water issues in Flint, the real estate collapse of 2008, and now the pandemic, Michigan has gotten its ass kicked six ways from Sunday, and it doesn't help that this amateur is in charge. Number two, while there may indeed be unequal economic healthcare treatment due to poverty, testing for the coronavirus is free for everyone. But healthcare issues, all races included, for the people of Michigan, are affected and is caused by the things I just mentioned. You cannot act like it's because they are black, they are denied treatment. It's unfortunate that black people are four times as likely to die in Michigan. But again, I ask the questions most health officials would ask. How old are they? Are they diabetic? Pre-existing heart condition, heart disease, morbidly obese. Again, diabetes, heart disease, obesity, the big three in the United States. We own those titles worldwide. You know, there are a lot, and I do mean a lot of diseases and conditions that only affect certain body types, sexes, races, ages. That's healthcare. That's science. That's medicine. Certain people of ages, certain sexes, ethnicities, ages, rates, whatever, they're all, certain people are more susceptible to certain diseases and conditions than others. Oh, by the way, the same time she announced these new restrictions for Northern Michigan, Whitmer said Detroit's three casinos could reopen at 15% capacity. Topic number three. It's not a tumor. Remember that quote? Remember the movie? Yes, Kindergarten Cop. The beloved movie that made Arnold a softy in 1990 is now horrible. From TheReason.com, quote, Kindergarten Cop is canceled, likened to Birth of a Nation. Here he is in that iconic scene where he punches that child in the throat. Remember that? Yeah, I remember that. I wish I was making this story up, but don't forget, everyone in Amateur Nation is a victim. Portland's Northwest Film Center pulls film from summer drive-in schedule after critics say it promotes, quote, school-to-prison pipeline. I guess I must have seen the director's cut. Here's that other famous scene where he breaks the neck of that little girl. Remember that? Oh, yeah. Kindergarten Cop, a banal 1990 comedy action movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger as a police detective who masquerades as a teacher, has been canceled and likened to the explicitly racist silent film Birth of a Nation. Kindergarten Cop was slated to kick off Portland's Northwest Film Center's Cinema Unbound Drive-In Theater on August 6th, until critics led by local author Lois Levine said the PG-13 movie promoted a school-to-prison pipeline, according to the Willamette Week. Wow. Kindergarten Cop out. Someone had tweeted this. Tell at NW Film Center there's nothing fun in cops traumatizing kids. National reckoning on over-policing is a weird time to revive Kindergarten Cop. In real life, we are trying to end school-to-prison pipeline. So that's the angle now. I thought this was all about George Floyd. Now we're trying to keep kids going from school to prison. Yeah, okay. So that was the post from Lois Levine, who was the person instrumental in getting this fun family film. Let's face it, it's a family film, not for littlest kids, but 12 and up? I'm not a parent, but 10 and up? Here she is here. That's the face of a woman who has never been asked on a date to see a movie. Hey, Lois, did you actually even see the movie? The kids are adored by Arnold Schwarzenegger's character by mid-movie, and they thrived during his presence. Again, why am I explaining this? It's a fucking movie. It's the classic fish-out-of-water scenario and formula that hundreds of classic movies in America are based on and shot with. Levine likened the Schwarzenegger vehicle to Birth of a Nation and Gone with the Wind. She says, it's true, Kindergarten Cop is only a movie, so are Birth of a Nation and Gone with the Wind, but we recognize films like those are not good family fun. I can't believe we're comparing these three movies. Not even one of these movies compares with the other. In time, context, what was going on in the state of the world, the nation, the plot, the actors, the tone. It's a ridiculous point. One woman, one amateur, complained, got it yanked. Story gets better. She says, those movies are relics of how pop culture feeds racist assumptions. Because despite what the movie shows, in reality, schools don't transform cops. Cops transform schools. And in an extremely detrimental way. I remember growing up how my school was transformed by cops. Okay, but Lou, you went to school in what? Massillon, Ohio. And this movie takes place in an even smaller, quaint little town in Oregon, outside of Portland, like where the Goonies were shot, like Astoria. I might have even been in the same city, if I'm correct. Could be wrong, but still a small little rural community. I don't know what movie this woman was watching. Arnold in the movie, if you've not seen Kindergarten Cop, I recommend it. He's an undercover cop trying to keep a violent spouse and child abuser and murderer from killing his ex-wife and stealing his child. Again, why am I explaining this? More importantly, why does the pro public bow down to this type of cancel culture? This amateur stupidity. By the way, other films in the series that were shown at this film festival were Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That's family fun. Creature from the Black Lagoon. Xanadu and Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and, ready, The Shining. Get the kids, honey. Time now for some quickies. Considering how so many millions of Americans are horrific people and not wearing masks, not social distancing, still going to beaches, parks, to work, running errands, and having house parties, and the big ones, going to riots and protests, shouldn't at least half of the entire U.S. population be sick or dying from coronavirus by now? It's been 6 months. Can't have it both ways. You can't complain that no one's wearing their masks. But this is not going to go away ever. Chasing the coronavirus is like trying to chase down a fly in your house with a hammer. Ain't gonna happen. Speaking of your house, I guess Lysol spray, that'll never be back. I guess Lysol was a thing. Guess we're done with that. And speaking of the coronavirus, some quick math for you. While I realize 20 million worldwide infected is a big number, that is the number of cases worldwide of the roughly 8 billion people on Earth, which is 0.25% of the worldwide population. Not 1%, 0.25%. And those are the people that have or had it, not the ones that died. As of now, 12.1 million recovered fully, the rest currently have it and will probably also recover. In the U.S., as of now, 1.6% of the population has had it, and of that 1.6, only 3% of that 1.6 die from it. Why is the U.S. struggling when other countries are okay then? More people? Oh, and it's an election year, so there's that. You know, after seeing repeated commercials for LifeLock, I am far less worried about cyber criminals than I am about Google, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, and other giant media conglomerates and platforms spying, stealing, and selling my information. I failed to see the distinction. I didn't get my permission for that either. You know, as I was getting into my car, I overheard this from the 20-something couple that were getting into their car. Here it is. I'm putting up the graphic so you can see it. She says this. She seems kind of mad or irritated. They clearly have been arguing, or maybe she had been complaining about some legal case, I'm guessing, or a medical case. I have no idea. She goes, well, yeah, but what about his Pythagorean theory? And her boyfriend or husband goes, what the hell are you talking about? Do you mean his Hippocratic oath? I am dying to, then they got in their car. I'm dying to know the context of that conversation and, more importantly, the rest of it. As of today, there are over 14,000 companies that make mattresses, and they're all rated number one for sleep, and they all guarantee you the best night's sleep you've ever had, and they're all made out of organic angel tears, and they're all racism-free, and they all come contact-free delivery too. Speaking of which, so apparently now the only angle advertisers have in commercials is the stay safe, wear a mask, and these uncertain times social distancing angle. And not letting us even remember a time before all this crap. Just sell your fucking pizza and stop making a documentary about the human condition and the state of the world. You know, I don't see the point of Honeydew. I just don't. I mean, really, what are we doing here? Honeydew could literally have the lowest ROI of any food I've ever encountered, all right? They're big, they're heavy, they're awkwardly shaped, they create this big uneven weight distribution in your grocery bags just to get them home. Then you get them home, and then to get to the food, you gotta bust out your machete, you know, the biggest knife in your kitchen. You have to cut, you spend 20 minutes carving that up, and then you put it in Tupperware, and for what? It tastes like a wet dish rag. Gross. No, nature's wrong. Sorry, they failed. This was under the heading Men's Running Shoes on Amazon. This could be the ugliest running shoe of all time. And no, you're not an amateur if you wear these. You can wear whatever you want. You're not an amateur because you want to wear what you want to wear. I'm not judging you there, but we are going to make fun of you. All right, time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. Watching a lot of movies, like everybody, saw this on Netflix, All the Devil's Men. It's a 2018 action movie. It had something that many action movies don't. And if I tell you, I'll spoil the movie for you. So I'm going to skip that. It stars Milo Gibson, and he is a, quote, battle-scarred special ops military vet joining a CIA-funded assignment to take down a Russian terrorist and his trigger-happy comrades. All the Devil's Men. Check that one out. Number two. I am an avid art collector. I have about 29 pieces, and I love art museums, and I have my favorite artists, favorite paintings, those kind of things. I like going to galleries and supporting local artists. I've talked about one on this show by the name of Paz. He's a local Los Angeles artist. I think he's going to be huge. I own three of his paintings. But this is the first time I've actually had an actual painting on this show as one of the pro things. I want to get more of his works. Once I make some more money, once the shutdowns are over, I'm not sure if he would agree with me, and I hope he's not offended by me categorizing his style, but I would just say he's new surrealism mixed with the Renaissance. I like what he does with lighting and iridescent paint. I stare at a lot of his work often online and in person, and my rule is, even if I stare at a painting long enough and go, I don't like this, and I look, oh my God, I've been looking at this painting for 35 minutes, I probably do like it. It probably speaks to me somehow. This one was not like that. I liked it instantly. I follow him on Facebook, and he's always showcasing his paintings and mixed media works, and this one really caught my eye. Here it is here. He says, sometimes you have to paint what you see. This painting is called America Eating Itself. It's 20 inches by 20 inches in acrylic and oil on wood. It's for sale, and you can visit his Facebook page, facebook.com/PazWinArt, P-A-Z-W-I-N-A-R-T, and go to his website, paz-art.com. Number three. The third pro thing, I knew it soon as I saw it. Happened just this past Sunday, last week. Angel Sampe versus Chris Bostic in the Pro Stock Motorcycle Final from the NHRA show down there in Indianapolis last week. The drama was fantastic. Chris Bostic was going for his first ever win, just trying to make his big break in professional pro stock motorcycle drag racing. And he has to go up against not only the winningest female pro stock motorcycle champion of all time, but the winningest female in any sport of anything, motorcycles or cars. Pressure much? Why isn't she more famous? Right? Danica Patrick never won a race in her life. Not at the highest level. I'm not taking anything away. She's better than I am. You know, my thing is once you make NASCAR, NHRA, Formula One, you've already won. I mean, you've displayed you're the cream of the crop. But Angel Sampe is the winningest female of any sport on two or four wheels. So she's against the guy who's never won an event in the final. They get to the starting line, and Angel Sampe's clutch cable issues begin. They needed to be repaired on the fly. She hasn't even done her burnout yet. They get to the starting line. Chris Bostic was super cool, calm. He's not a rookie, but he just hasn't won anything yet. The guy showed poise, sportsmanship, even gave her more time than she probably was allowed to have until the track official spoke up. And that's what had happened. The track official says, you have 1 minute because you got to keep things moving. So she had 60 seconds to fix this clutch cable. She got like seven mechanics all working on her motorcycle while she's trying to stay focused, not panic. They say, give it a shot. She does her burnout. Not a great burnout, but she does. I got goosebumps telling this story. She gets to the starting line, pops the clutch, and shows a 0.001 reaction time. To put that in perspective, 0.000 is the fastest, means you came on perfectly when the green light came on. She had all that pressure, doesn't want to get beat by a guy who's never won a race. This would have been her first win since 2016 when she retired from drag racing. She recently signed with Harley-Davidson and switched motorcycles. And here she is in a final, and her clutch cable gives her problems. And then she busts out a 0.001 reaction time and won that race. Man, watching her cry made me cry. Except I didn't go to the grocery store and tell the whole story on my cell phone like a pizza with my mask on. It was just nice to see because she didn't want to let her team down because they worked their asses off to get that thing fixed. The team didn't want to let her down because they knew what this race meant to her. The pressure was unbelievable and the tears of joy, it was just nice to see. It was nice to see. This is why I love drag racing. It's such a team sport. And that was her 43rd professional win. There's going to be more coming from Angel Sampe. All right, so download my book from Amazon and subscribe to my YouTube page. Hear the show on 14 podcast platforms because Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Thanks, Lou. We'll see you next week.